produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and I look forward to another program to share with you this day. As we all know, there's been a lot going on in the world, as there seems to be always a lot going on in the world and in our personal lives. But we enjoy the this period of late February and March in our family for a lot of reasons, but especially because we have a lot of birthdays during this time period. Our oldest son, his birthday is on the 28th of February. His wife was birthday was on the 25th, I believe, of February. My birthday is March the 3rd. We have another son on March 13th, and my wife's is on the 23rd. And there's some other family members sprinkled in between all of that. So we love this time of year. We love the opportunity to gather together as a family. In the past, we generally have had a big celebration where we try to get everybody together and have a big cake with everybody's name on it and the numbers representing how old the cumulative ages of all of us are. This year, we've gone a little different route. We've been having individual get-togethers with various family gatherings. We did one on Saturday. We had one on Thursday, and so it's been a fun weekend, this past weekend for us. So today I'd like to talk a little bit about the blessings of family as it relates to some of our journeys and travels through life, and a topic that I'll talk about more here shortly, and that's called the tender mercies of the Lord, which any of you who know me well know that this is one of my favorite topics and experiences to share with others. But I want to share something with you that was made available in the Sunday edition of Music and the Spoken Word. Lloyd Newell, during the musical performance of the Tabernacle Choir, Temple Square, and Orchestra, Temple Square, shares a brief message, a devotional, if you will, and I want to share that with you at this time. He talked today about, this past Sunday, about the bitter and the sweet. We all know that some days can be full of peace and happiness, while other days seem to be unrelentingly hard. As one six-year-old so wisely said, you can have a no-problem day, but you can't have a no-problem life. What can we learn from this simple observation? Maybe one takeaway is that it doesn't do much good to count up our good days and the bad days. Life wasn't meant to be a worry-free ride. And if our happiness depends on the absence of problems, most days will be disappointing. What if, rather than dividing our lives into sunny days and rainy days, we saw life as one continuous cycle of seasons, where the rain is just as needed as the sunshine? Of course, some moments are especially joyous, like the birth of a child. But this joy comes only after the stress, even the pain of labor and delivery. When that child grows and eventually leaves home, we might feel a bit of heartbreak, but only because of the sweet memories we made over the years, memories we wouldn't trade for anything. Thus, the joy and the sadness, the bitter and the sweet, depend on one another. Endings give way to beginnings, just as beginnings give way to endings. As much as we might want to skip over the tragedies and hold on to the triumphs, we can't have one without the other. Though we come to appreciate the stark beauty of a snow-white winter, while also rejoicing when the snow melts and gives way to a glorious spring. After a long, hot summer, we welcome the brisk colors of fall, even as we recognize that those colors mean another winter is on its way. And the cycle continues. Sure, we're thankful for the occasional no-problem day, but we also know that good days are temporary and bad days, in time, become better. This larger perspective helps us carry on and hope on. Now, none of us will have a no-problem life, but if we can learn to savor both the bitter and the sweet, we can still create a good life. So, with that in mind, thinking about how we deal with our daily living, I do want to address this topic of the tender mercies of the Lord. Before I get into the meat of it, I want to share some poems that I came across in thinking about this topic that have been written by others. I'll give credit for the authors of these. One poem here by Gregory Dale Milhorn talks about God's tender mercy. All of God's tender mercy is shown in his own Son. Believing in Jesus' work, God is good to everyone. Whenever you judge thy neighbor and others, you want to condemn. Remember what Jesus taught us. Everybody is worth saving to him. Our wonderful, sinless Jesus poured blood out his veins, giving his life freely to cover man's sin stain. We have access through Jesus, all reaching the Father's throne. To God we may boldly come, for all our sin he did atone. People be faithful to Jesus and also to one another. Everybody, do what's right. Love your sister and brother. Now, we were reminded in the Old Testament in Psalm, it says, Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So what tender mercies compared to mercy? Well, what is the difference? Well, mercy is not giving us what we deserve, which is death for our sins and total separation from God. Tender mercy, however, is mercy filled with love for us. So as we think about what that really means, tender mercy is mercy filled with love for us. I'm reminded of a beautiful talk that was given back in October of 2005 at a general conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by a newly called Apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, Elder David A. Bednar. And in his talk in April of 2005, he shared profound truths. He indicated, I testify that the tender mercies of the Lord are available to all of us and that the Redeemer of Israel is eager to bestow such gifts upon us. The Lord's tender mercies are the very personal and individualized blessings, strength, protection, assurances, guidance, loving kindnesses, consolation, support, and spiritual gifts which we receive from and because of and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in his talk, he mentioned how in the previous conference that he had been called 6 months earlier as an apostle, he was scheduled to be one of the speakers before he gave his talk. There was a musical piece, and as it turned out, that musical hymn is his favorite hymn. Now, there was no pre-planning on his part. no consultation by the music director, but he recognized that this was, in his mind, the Lord's acknowledgement to him, if you will, a tender mercy of the Lord, that he was aware of his upcoming talk and the pressure that he might feel and some anxiety that he might have in delivering a conference talk. But the conference center with over 20,000 people in attendance, a worldwide broadcast to literally millions of people all over the planet. So he says, near the conclusion of the singing, to my mind came this verse from the Book of Mormon, found in 1 Nephi, chapter 1, verse 20. Quote, "But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom he hath chosen, because of their faith, to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance." He goes on to say, my mind was drawn immediately to Nephi's phrase, the tender mercies of the Lord. And I knew in that very moment I was experiencing such a tender mercy. A loving Savior was sending me a most personal and timely message of comfort and reassurance through a hymn selected weeks previously. Some may count this experience as simply a nice coincidence, but I testify that the tender mercies of the Lord are real and that they do not occur randomly or merely by coincidence. Often the Lord's timing of his tender mercies helps us to both discern and acknowledge them. He goes on to say that since that October conference where he spoke first, he said, I have reflected repeatedly upon the phrase, the tender mercies of the Lord. Through personal study, observation, pondering, and prayer, I believe that I have come to better understand that the Lord's tender mercies are the very personal and individualized blessings, strength, protection, assurances, guidance, loving kindness, kindnesses, consolation, support, and spiritual gifts, which we receive from and because of and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, the Lord suits his mercies according to the conditions of the children of men. And that is a quote from the Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 15. Elder Bednar goes on to say, recall how the Savior instructed his apostles that he would not leave them comfortless. And only would he send another comforter, even the Holy Ghost, but the Savior said that he would come to them. Let me suggest that one of the ways whereby the Savior comes to each of us is through his abundant and tender mercies. For instance, as you and I face challenges and tests in our lives, the gift of faith and an appropriate sense of personal confidence that reaches beyond our own capacity are two examples of the tender mercies of the Lord. Repentance and forgiveness of sins and peace of conscience are examples of the tender mercies of the Lord. And the persistence and the fortitude that enable us to press forward with cheerfulness through physical limitations and spiritual difficulties are examples of the tender mercies of the Lord. He says, I repeat again, the Lord's tender mercies do not occur randomly or merely by coincidence. Faithfulness and obedience enable us to receive these important gifts, and frequently the Lord's timing helps us to recognize them. We should not underestimate or overlook the power of the Lord's tender mercies. The simpleness, the sweetness, and the constancy of the tender mercies of the Lord will do much to fortify and protect us in the troubled times in which we do now and will yet live. When words cannot provide the solace we need or express the joy we feel, when it is simply futile to attempt to explain that which is unexplainable, when logic and reason cannot yield adequate understanding about the injustices and inequities of life, When mortal experience and evaluation are insufficient to produce a desired outcome, and when it seems that perhaps we are so totally alone, truly, we are blessed by the tender mercies of the Lord and made mighty even unto the power of deliverance. There was much more to Elder Bednar's talk, but I want to take a couple of little side observations about all of this. Since that April of 2005 conference talk by Elder Bednar, I've experienced a very simple formula that relates to the tender mercies of the Lord. Number one is the importance of when a tender mercy of the Lord experience occurs, to be receptive in recognizing it, to understand it for what it is. Secondly, to acknowledge it by giving thanks to Heavenly Father for allowing us to have that experience. And then third, when appropriate, not to brag or boast, but purely to fortify and to increase testimonies of others, when prompted by the Spirit, to share certain tender mercy experiences that we've had with others. So that three-step formula is recognize, acknowledge, and share. And what I discovered in the months and years since then is that by doing those three things, amazingly, the frequency of tender mercies of the Lord experiences have increased. And secondly, many times the intensity of those experiences has also increased. So I would encourage each of us to be mindful and alert and aware, to recognize that many of these things that we might think are coincidences are really the Lord's hand in his direct involvement in our lives, letting us know that we are in his tender care, that he loves us, and that he is there for us. I found this talk in April of 2005 to be very life-altering, if you will, because for years I had noticed these amazing coincidences that had occurred in my life and was always a little puzzled at just how ironic it was that these things would occur. Never knowing specifically what type of a title to refer to those coincidences. And so it was, with Elder Bednar's talk, that I had that aha moment to recognize that these are tender mercies of the Lord experiences and that he does love me as he loves all of us, and that these blessings, these tender mercies, are available to us because of his love for us. I testify of that and very boldly proclaim that each of us are entitled to the tender mercies of the Lord, that through our faithfulness to the Lord, cover us with his blessings and his tender mercies. Now, I'd like to share a personal experience that is filled with coincidences, but obviously, as I look back now, it definitely has tender mercies of the Lord written all over it. Now, my birthday is March the 3rd, and I have a great-grandfather who I'm named after, John Richard Sampey, who was president of the entire Southern Baptist denomination, was president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville for 13 years, was a professor there at the seminary for many years, and was an ordained minister for over 67 years. He had a series of radio messages that he delivered called 10 Vital Messages that were published in a book. And these radio messages were over the WHAS radio station there in Louisville, Kentucky. And these occurred in around 1946. And my great-grandfather passed away before I was born, so I never met him. But my father's father passed away when he was only three. And this great-grandfather was his mother's father. And so Dr. Sampi took my father and his mother into their home. And basically, my father was raised by Dr. Sampi. So growing up, I heard many stories and many experiences that my father had being with and enjoying the leadership and guidance of his grandfather. So let me share with you this one of his 10 vital messages, which ironically is entitled, Where Are the Righteous Dead? So here we go. By way of background, by the way, my great-grandfather was born in Fort Deposit, Alabama, in September of 1863. He was the fourth child of James and Louisa Sampi. Two devoutly Christian people. His father was first a Methodist and then a Baptist minister. And Dr. Sampi seems to have been destined for a life of ministry from the beginning. And I mentioned his time as president of this Baptist denomination and the seminary experience. But he gives a most profound and most compelling account of his conversion experience. Now, this occurred when he was 13 years of age, which I find interesting in relationship to how many times it's a young person in those early teen years that have profound spiritual experiences. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we can relate to the amazing experiences of the young man, Joseph Smith, who at the age of 14 had the glorious experience of the first vision, where literally he was visited by Heavenly Father and his beloved son. So let me go on and share with you verbatim what my great-grandfather said. He said, sometime the Savior manifests himself to a soul in the crisis of conversion. When the soul surrenders itself to the Lord Jesus for all time. Well do I recall the hour when at the age of 13 I committed myself to Jesus Christ as my only hope. For months I had labored under deep conviction for sin. I felt the burden resting on my soul. I was well nigh desperate. I lay on the trundle bed beside my younger brother who had fallen asleep. But I could not sleep. At last I said, Lord Jesus, I do not know what to do. I have prayed, but I get no relief. I have read the Bible, but my sins are still a burden on my soul. I have listened to preaching, but find no help. I do not know what to do except to turn it all over to you. And if I am lost, I will go down trusting you. Now, here's the part that I found so amazing. When he says, then something happened. It seemed that a great presence filled the room and said to me in almost audible words, my boy, I have been waiting for you to do what you have just done. You can count on me to save you. I will not fail you. My great-grandfather goes on to say, the tears that dropped on my pillow were not tears of fear, but of gratitude and joy that Christ Jesus was now my Savior. I looked up at the old family clock on the mantle. It was 8:05 on the evening of March 3rd, 1877, the day before Rutherford B. Hayes was inaugurated as President of the United States. On March 3rd, 1945, I celebrated my 68th birthday as a Christian. That evening, as I read this account of my great-grandfather, who had passed 3 years, as I mentioned, before I was born, it was at that very moment I felt a connection, a bond, if you will, with him. For as I mentioned earlier, my birth was on the 3rd day of March. So here we are, a connection with this great-grandfather. But let me share with you, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. So sometime after the reading of this and experiencing that connection with his great-grandfather. So late in the evening of January the 1st, 1988, pondering about goals for the new year, while praying, I felt impressed to make not just a promise or commitment, but a covenant with the Lord, that I would do my great-grandfather Sampi's temple work on March 3rd, my mortal birthday and his birthday as a Christian. As I arose from my praying, I had a moment of concern. What if March 3rd was on a Sunday and the temple would not be open? How would I fulfill this covenant? I promptly found my church directory and calendar, and to my delight, March 3rd was on a Thursday, and it just so happened that our area, our stake, including multiple local Memphis congregations, had scheduled a temple trip to the Atlanta temple that very week. Coincidence? Needless to say, the joy I experienced on March 3rd, 1988, while in the house of the Lord, was wonderful, and the spiritual significance was most profound. Truly, my testimony that the tender mercies of the Lord experiences are real, and that He has His hand, and that His hand is always present in our lives. So I share that to give an example of how significant we can experience these tender mercies of the Lord. I love the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I deeply am humbled and forever grateful for His atoning sacrifice that makes life eternal possible for all of us, and that for His saving ordinances that allow us to be united as families, not till just this earthly experience, but for all of eternity. For the opportunity through those temple blessings to have a marriage with one's wife that, again, is not till death do you part, but for all of eternity. I am so grateful for this gospel restored and for the Savior Jesus Christ. And I testify of these things in the holy and sacred name of our beloved Heavenly Father's Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.